And then we hopefully we have working audio.
Can folks hear me?
All right. Yep. Okay, that's good. All right. So so our noontime talk is Koyana. She has a new paper about Model Lakes. You guys are familiar with some of the work that she's been looking at there. It's a special kind of paper. It's a vision paper, sort of a future-looking survey. And she, so she's presenting this paper pretty soon in Barcelona at one of the database conferences. So she's going to give a little preview of what her paper is about, which she'll talk about there. Well, take it away, Koyana.
All right. Sorry, I'm just going to time myself a bit as well. So, all right. Hi. Yeah, so I'm Koyana, and I'm going to talk about model lakes. And yeah, I'll start off with this tweet that Clem posted like about 6 months back. And he's like the founder and CEO of Hugging Face, which is a model sharing platform. And in that, they had crossed about 1 million public models and just as many like private models as well. And so what we are seeing over here is that there has been a kind of like an exponential increase in the number of models being deployed. And there's been increased traffic of users and like, you know, people who are also developers and trying to get these models out. And however, though, like, in terms of what the media covers, you probably are aware of maybe a, like couple, like 50 of them or something. So for example, like Llama, Gemma, DeepSeek. And so there needs to be a way for us to kind of better manage the models to be able to drive some meaningful insights and informed decisions. And another reason why we need to do that is because in every model, ideally, we would like to have a documentation. And that's something that people have, you know, talked about what's an ideal kind of documentation to have. We call those model cards. And in many of the popular models, we do have this, like it shows like model details, where do you want to use it, how it is made. But most of the models that are on Hugging Face, for instance, they do not have these model cards. And even if they do, there's a lot of incomplete information and there's no way of verifying what these like information, like how, like in terms of the model creation aspects are. And so, yes, so we need to be able to streamline and verify documentation for like a better clarity and model search. And an additional sort of like motivating factor for this is because as like AI models are being more commercialized, there's been more regulations in terms of like how to really manage all these models and how to make sure there's like an ethical use of these. And so just deploying models and putting it out there isn't just going to cut it out for us. And so we need to like have a better way to navigate them. And so, yeah, this is kind of like a history repeating itself sort of situ moment, because in the database community, there's been this concept of data lakes, which emerged in the early 2010s, where like you had this like huge, like raw unstructured data, and you wanted to be able to process them, understand them, analyze them. And so they have this storage system with called data lakes, and that, and people in the past have been, and even right now, like building these analytical tools to make use of all these like data that is out there. And so, yeah, I'm going to start off with how this model lake might look like. And I start off with these different prompts that you can ask, that you might ask as a user, whether you want to know like what model X can be used for, what is its risk, how do I cite it, or like if you're looking in terms of what's the best model like to summarize legal documents. So these are all these use cases that are out there. And so in this model lake, you have models, like the model database, all these like models that are present in the database, and benchmarks. And there are these tools like inferencing them, interpretability, and like for example, and like other, like having an indexer of sorts. This is something that we are proposing as part of like research roadmaps that you can we can try to have within the model lake, so that when we use these tools, we can get a generated document or have like a version graph of like, okay, this is where this model is in the space of the model models that we have, and also have a better like ranking system of like when you, for example, want what's the best model for summarizing legal documents, you would get a ranked model. And that way you can then use an API to generate like these answers for you. So it can be more like usable for those stakeholders. And the way we go about defining these tasks is also based on model accessibility. So, you know, there are like these models that are not all models are black box, but they're even more so when we don't have access to their internal state. And so we define the we have like three viewpoints. The model intrinsics talk about like the function, like the parameters, the weights that you have access to. The extrinsic aspect is just whatever you can observe from the model. And the model history is more about the documentation. So if you have access to the data and the algorithm, that's like something you can maybe use for your for the task. And the tasks that I'm talking about are four categories of them: attribution, versioning, search, and benchmarking. And so these tasks have existed before. It's just different communities have looked into them in different lens, and this work is attempting to bridge all these community efforts together and have a more cohesive way of like looking forward with the model lakes aspect. And so, for example, with attribution, when it comes to model intrinsics, you may be interested in knowing like what internal representations, internal concepts within the model that can be most important for a decision. On the extrinsic aspect, you might be like, okay, for a particular output, what aspects of the input can be most important? And if it's history, you might be interested in like, for example, the training data that could be most influential on the decision. And when it comes to versioning, we can think of having all these models in like these directed model graphs. And so when you have a model and a set of like other models, we can have the directed edge that could describe the transformation from one model to another. And yes, and the nodes itself could represent the model itself. Hugging Face, for example, is trying to have this model tree aspect over here, but this is something that's self-reported. And so it is a step in the progress, but we need to, one, of course, verify it and find a more automatic way to be able to extract this information because this is not available for the other past models that are out there. And yes, that also leads to our like next task about model search. And so for model search, you can think of a task function where you have the task as an input, and it would pro and you would find the best performing model for like a given set of model candidates. And the task function could also literally be like another model. So for example, if you input another model, you could get an output of what other similar models that could be out in the space. And this can be based on like just looking at the output of each of these models. You can compare, for example, in like images, like how one image could be similar to another, and like you can expand this for like other modalities. For intrinsics and history, like intrinsic, you might be interested in finding models with other similar modeling architectures and training parameters. This could actually still be like challenging because in the case of like model merging, stitching community, like to be able to understand what are the different like parents and like multiple parents that they could have is something we want to consider. And yes, to also know whether you know, a couple set of data has been trained on the same data set, or in the case of privacy, if you wanted to know if it was trained on sensitive data or not. This leads us to benchmarking too. So in benchmarking for single model setting, this is something that has been happening as part of evaluation that, you know, given a model, what are these, how well does it perform in, let's say, like multitask answering, like segmentation, things like that. And so that does exist, but maybe just for like a model may be trained for one instance, but could be good in like other tasks. So like being able to robustly identify what benchmarks would be useful for evaluating each of these models. And because now we're considering a whole set of models, we want to have benchmarks for these multiple model settings for all these like model lake tasks as well. So like being able to identify like create versions or like be able to search models, and so having more like large scale benchmarks and that. So here are like these are essentially some ideas on what these tasks can be. And even though now we're introducing model lake tasks, it is still important for us to consider the data lake like the data lake tasks that are already in there, because for all these models you do need data. And so things about like being able to trace data, like also have the versioning for that. We want to be able to integrate the management of both data and model lakes. And there are other strategies that we talk about. So we can feel free to check out the website, and or you can scan the QR code to take a look. And yeah, shit, I'm already over time. But yes, that is
What's the
that.
parameters? How much time do you have
So
to...
I have like 8 minutes, so it's pretty short.
I see. And then how much time did you use in the
10 minutes.
time? Use 10 minutes. Okay,
And I was like
great.
already really fast, but it's okay. But yes, that's that. And yeah, that's so basically
That's great.
for the
So I think there's two things that we can do for these sort of practice talk things. So one is first we can start with like substantive questions for going in about her project. But then the second thing is that we can like also go back and help her dissect her presentation and make suggestions on like what to squeeze into her 8 minutes that she has, and what to add or remove. But so for substantive questions first about the model lake.
So can you go to the Hugging Face slide?
This
The
one?
versioning one, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, what is the merges and quantizations mean?
So I think the merges one is like it is like maybe so if I understand correctly, it's like literally like they may take a llama model and like some other model and like merge them together.
Merge them, yeah.
Like as in like parts of the model.
Okay.
Yeah, parts of the layer. And I think quantizations, that's a good question. I'm not really sure.
Weights are
Yeah.
quantized 4 by
Like the
3 weight.
HB,
But
like
why does there are 102 models on?
different people
Yeah,
did by
different
weight.
people did it. And so this is just saying
Just like,
that
huh?
the sorry, so this is just saying that from so if you imagine, let's say this is Llama Instruct, like furthermore, there are like maybe 102 models that people have like quantized from that.
The entire Hugging Face unit.
Yes. I mean, at least those that are self-reported, because this is something you have to fill out in the metadata at the moment. So
So it is 102 because there are multiple 4 bits, multiple 8 bits, and multiple
yeah,
FPGA
like I
parts.
can yeah, I mean I can like go into here right
Yes,
now.
people did it themselves, yeah.
Yeah, people have to say that data is like, for example, like, I guess this MLX community did like this, right? But, there could be duplicates. We never know. Yeah, and it's not really informative how exactly each of them are different from one another. Like you this person, the way they quantize that, and this one could probably be the same, but yeah, that's another thing that we wouldn't know. So at the current moment, like verification, actually filling out that information, and then just knowing the difference
So
is
when I
quite
use
different.
bits and bytes and load the model in 4 bit, is that the same thing if I directly go to one of this model and fetch it, load it, or is it a different thing?
I
It's the
that's a
same thing. It's the same
it's
thing.
I
Well,
think
I don't think we
I
know.
we don't I don't know. I don't think we
So
know.
GGUF is one of the quantization methods. Bits and bytes has its own quantization method. So the only advantage with this is your loading time will be super fast because it's already like a small weight.
But it's basically the same loaded model.
Well, I think the point is like somebody could have altered this model and nobody
Yeah,
would know.
exactly.
Like maybe they ran some Rome edits on it or
Yeah, for
something.
example, over here, there is no information of how they, for example, did it. And it just says not for all audience in this case for now. But yeah.
I mean,
I
it's a harmful llama, you
mean, okay, I just
know.
randomly clicked in one of them. So yeah. Just looking at that. Yeah. But yeah.
Question for Michael.
Well, I was wondering, and I don't mean this in like a
Yes.
way. I was
Yes.
curious what the target audience was for this. Like, it seems like this is like proposing an idea to someone to take responsibility in some capacity. Like,
Exactly.
but is this like a community level of like individuals push at Hugging Face to like add more features like this? Is it like a Hugging Face level, or is it even higher level of like government policy, kind of making sure this sort of stuff is like mandated?
Ideally, all levels. I only mention Hugging Face because, like, I feel like that's one of the most popular model sharing platform. Maybe I should just mention Civit AI just to like make it like not so Hugging Facey talking. I don't know. But yeah, it is ideally like meant for especially the database and the AI community. Just because database truly has been working on this in like a data lake format. It's just that they have been working with data points, and there's this additional abstraction of like actually understanding models to be able to do what they do right now for other data types. So yeah.
Right. And I wouldn't say there's any mandating implication here. Rather, it's a call for research to help in addressing automatically addressing some of these issues, verifying a model card and things in order to help the research community better use models.
I have another humble way of looking at it, which is, you know, Koyan has been interested in this set of problems, and this field hasn't really had a name. It's just a set of, you know, unrelated problems. And so this is just an opportunity for Koyan, and she's embarking on her research to say, what we're really doing here is we're constructing a set of methods which would correspond to this idea of model lakes. And here's a so I have some meta suggestions
Yes.
about your talk, but it's okay. But we can let's do more substantive questions.
Can I just quickly ask,
Yeah.
in the context of data lakes, was there any research in similar regards that tried to classify a lot of what's going on and try to like make a sort of push towards a particular design? And if so, what was like, did it have a good like an outcome? I guess I'm kind of curious historically if there's a similar kind of movement in the context there.
So you're asking about the formation of data lakes itself, or
Yeah,
like
like how
how
does it
was like
compare to
the
data lakes?
how does it compare to data lakes?
Well, I guess more like in the context historically, when people started to try and think about, oh, like we should be doing things more systematized and starting to organize concepts from different fields, I was wondering whether that sort of had already happened within the context of, but yeah.
So Renee, correct me if I'm wrong, or so I think like the way I understand about the whole like data lakes, how it came about, I think it was definitely still within the database community, but like there was an industry person that said that, hey, you know, like they just termed it that I think we need like data lakes because these data, so before data lakes, I think it was data warehouses where like you had these like structured data, like a quote unquote clean data to be able to do this. But like as like, you know, we started to use more internet like internet, you have all these like unstructured logs and other things like that. And I think we wanted to have like a easy storage for that and like make use of those data. So I think that's how data lakes came about. Renee, do you have anything?
Yeah, so if you think about database management systems and data warehouses, they're design systems. So I have to put a catalog in there that says describes all the data that they contain. And when people started doing data science, they started generating data sets at a volume where you couldn't load them into a data warehouse and structure them nice and neatly and tidily. So people started just using file systems to store their data. And the only way to find different data sets was by the file system naming convention, right? You could search your file directory structure. And so the data management community said, well, wait a second. Even though all this data is not stored in a data warehouse, we can still apply data management techniques to the search problem and actually search this data. We can index it and search it fast and allow people to retrieve it by content. So questions like find me all the data sets that might meaningfully join together, or find me all the data sets that have the same set of features in them. We can create indices to answer those questions in sublinear time over these over potentially millions of databases, data sets, sorry. So that's kind of how the data lake research work got started. First, a necessity that people just were using file systems instead of databases. And then some interesting research problems on how do you search them? How do you do version control when you have many versions of the same data set and so forth?
Any other substantive questions? Oh, that's good. Thanks.
Very practical. So I recently looked for text embeddings mm-hmm. and just to like compare the similarity of LLM answers mm-hmm. and like deduplicate them.
Mm-hmm.
The way that I did it was just go to a text embedding benchmark and just take the one with the highest average score.
Mm-hmm.
For you as an expert, with like a fully baked data lake, how will this be different? Will I still be looking at benchmarks, or what are the key features that I will be looking at?
I'm sorry, let me clarify.
I'm having a specific task.
Yes, okay.
And I'm looking for the perfect model for it.
Right. Okay.
And so just like benchmark, I have like the whole data lake with all the curated
yes.
background info.
Mm-hmm.
How would I find my perfect model?
So ideally, like the one way I imagine a different schema happen, like when you're uploading a model,
yeah.
Let's say you know how to understand a model well enough, maybe you can build a concept cloud for each of those models to kind of know in first what information it might have or might be good at having. And then later from there, like filter out and then use so there are two aspects. One concept cloud for like models, and then the other one could be like from data lake finding relevant like for based on like for example like text embedding, finding like relevant like data points that could be good for like testing the models, like if you need to. And so with the filtered models, with those and I guess filter data points, maybe you can like run them and then find what the
test. What is a concept cloud, and does every model have that?
Concept cloud, good question. Of course, for now, like these models don't have that, but it's more about like a way to like, you know how that these like Moore's paper, like there are like these different papers on like extracting like knowledge from like the models, and so if there was a way for us to just like in the future like know that we can grab these knowledge, like think of it as slider space before like concept space. Like you can find out what concepts they might know. Like having a tool like that. Yeah, it's pretty, yeah.
So Kayana, I like this question. I think you might have a slide that has on the left side, the current way of searching data model lake.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that follows what sorry, I don't know who was speaking, but what the question asker just said. Mm-hmm. Today, if I want to find a model, here's what I do. I mm-hmm. go find the one with the best performance on a benchmark that I know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And on the right side, present a vision for how you might do it in the future if you had some of this.
Yes. Just as an idea, so like we have, so for example, this is a test. What's the best model to like summarize legal documents? And you have these set of models, and like ideally, maybe you have a cached indexer,
which is like, a benchmark, or
which I guess was built via the benchmark, like running on things. And I guess again with that filtered models and the benchmark, then you can maybe like then get your ranked models. And find out that, okay, maybe this is the best task for that.
So,
like best model for that.
So, yeah, I think because this is, you know, the paper is a, this, since it's a sort of a survey, maybe one of the nice ways of doing it is that, like, the best state of the art for model search so far can do things like this. So, like, what would you say is like, so there's not like an existing piece of work that mm-hmm. does like the ideal thing that you might want to do, but like, what previous work would you say comes?
The first one that comes is like the one by Junyoung, like the content-based model search, where like you output, you actually compare, like you give the tasks, and then for the set of models, you actually run those models and like output them, get those images, and then find what's the best image that closely matches to what the, I guess, test is about.
Trying to find the model that's actually performing best on a specific task.
Yes. So that's instead pretty of having much
a generic benchmark, you provide your own data and make your own benchmark. Kind
of. Right.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So now how to do that in your specific case, I don't think anybody's probably solved that. But I think in image generation, there was an attempt.
Yeah.
Cool.
So how do I not always return the model that was trained on a test set?
How do I
get pretty good benchmark performance?
Well, I guess that's relates to
she has her interpretability tools too.
Yeah. Well, so but as a user, you come along with your new test set.
Yes.
So I guess if somebody was lucky enough to train the model on your query, then maybe they do well.
I mean, that's one use case. The other use case is like, I'm a company, I care about this one data set that we always use or something like that. And maybe then it's not new.
Right.
Run Maya on it and like try different test cases. I don't know. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Should we flip through your slides and maybe come up with suggestions about the structure of the talk?
Yes.
I have some suggestions. But,
yes, please. Like, it is a very last minute I was doing it.
It's okay.
Yes. All right. This is.
So the motivation, I think, was fine. Okay. You can keep on going.
For motivation.
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe you should show something like two models which were derivatives of each other, like maybe Llama and Gwen, maybe. Is Gwen?
Yeah, like
Gwen.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you should say, did you know that they were descendants or like part of the same tree?
Mm.
Well, Hugging Face doesn't show that. I should like really research to understand it. But ideally, in a word, that this should not be a challenge. Mm.
That's good. Yeah. Start with an unsolved problem.
Yes.
That's really great.
Yes.
Yes. So the current process is you go search the internet,
you
read about it. Somebody in the middle of a blog post says, "Oh, it was a fine-tuned version of this other model." That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is maybe you don't need to write the word motivation itself.
Sure.
At the title, just maybe write the main. No. Whatever the point that you want to convey, write that instead of the word motivation itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just sufficient.
Like right now, we can't do this.
Yeah.
Well, whatever it is. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you can just put this, you can make that concrete.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, let's keep on going. Yeah, so that's great. So for each of these, I like that suggestion of the title being the unsolved problem while you're in motivation. So if you go back up to growth, it's like, so you're going to present a single small problem in the first slide, maybe, and then you say, it's growing so fast, this problem's getting worse, right? Something like that, right? This problem is getting worse as the universe grows exponentially over there, right? And then the next one, right? Yeah, you can say it's growth, right? It problems getting worse as the world grows or something like that, right? As AI grows, right? Okay.
All right,
and then instead of just saying documentation, you made the point you can't trust documentation, right? Yeah, unverifiable is kind of a long word. I would just say you can't trust it.
Yeah.
You really can't, right? You can't trust documentation, right? Okay, cool. You'll pick a pick a title. It's actually kind of a nice slide. You can say first you can't trust the documentation, and then if they even bother to give it, right? And because most people don't even bother.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But it should be spoken. It should maybe not necessarily be.
Maybe not a title. Yeah. Right, right. So you can, but on the title, you can say how, you know, it could be a question like, how often can you find documentation and stuff like that?
Right.
Yeah. Right. So, so maybe the title is too inflammatory.
I know.
But this sort of philosophy, you know, suggestions instead of just saying we're going to talk about search now, we're going to talk about documentation now.
Yes.
More like, this is the problem. This is the problem. And while you're in the motivation section, it's all like, this is the problem, right? Mm-hmm. It's getting worse, mm-hmm. right? Okay. And then next thing, auditing, yeah. So what's the auditing, who's a customer for auditing? It's regulators and consumers need audits, right? Something like that. So you could just instead of just having the noun there, mm-hmm. you could say who needs this or what's it needed for or something like that.
Some thought that I had here was that the ML community is not specifically a customer for auditing. And on multiple slides, you point out that people on Hugging Face do not document properly. You have this self-documented thing, and like there's no model cards in most of the models and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, would Hugging Face be as successful as they are right now if they enforced these structures from the very beginning?
Agreed.
Probably people would like, oh no, I don't have 10 minutes to like fill out the form, right?
Yeah, I mean, ideally what I'm proposing is for this to be automated,
right?
So like upon uploading the model,
I
guess you should
highlight
say,
this.
I actually was a little bit
confused,
like is it a call for people to, you know, do your job well, or it's like we're providing a service for search or automated?
So that's really the call for the research, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, so what is a model like? It's like, it's this call for research so that we can all as a community develop methods to automate this, right?
Should I then focus on this to like be like a generated document?
Yeah, so like, really so in this, so this is a fine thing, but instead of saying, oh, this is a design of like a done model lake and not sure what it is, right? Is this more like your call for research here, right? This is like, so maybe, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you can clarify when you speak about it or put a single line of text at the top of this or something like that, it's like, you know, that this should be automated somehow so that it can be done. And then this is like all the missing research that needs to be done, right?
It would be really motivating if you could give some, you know, things that are already possible, but not that.
Things that are already possible, but?
Not done yet.
Yeah.
Not done yet.
For example, I guess, like, that models are, like, models have the same base model.
Yeah.
That seems like something that...
There's been papers saying exactly how you can quantify this type of thing, right?
That seems like in reach.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. So that's one of my other meta comments is that there's you're building on top of a lot of it.
Yes.
You know, this framework isn't just something that you just came up with,
exactly.
Right? Because
it's built out.
There's a lot of existing research, and it would be really nice to say, okay, there's this vision here. Maybe this is your vision slide, and you'll make it really clear at this moment. So you're transitioning from motivation to like vision, and make it clear that this is not something that you built. This is something that we need to build as a community.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of parts of it. And then when you go into the tasks, instead of just saying this task and that task, you can like pick what you think is the latest state of the art and people are investigating some subset of this task and then actually cite them, actually like put their name there and say, let me tell you the story of this cool research in like one sentence. If you can summarize this cool other thing, this cool method, for figuring out what the model tree is or for doing a model search. And like, it's not like solved the whole problem. That's why there's this whole area. But if you can kind of just like, cool, for each one of these things, it's not impossible. Like there's like, this is a good starting point, right?
Cool.
This one's needed. It's not impossible. This is a good starting point for each one of those successive slides. I think that would like make it feel like, oh yeah, there's something to do here.
Got you.
That makes sense.
Question for, like, for example, in the model versioning, I guess I just put it up on the slide here. I didn't talk about it, but like, so I will just, I guess, give a one.
So right. So like over here, right. So you can say, so you can call back to your things like, how do I, you know, how do I know, like, how do I know a model version instead of being too formal about, because it's not the paper itself. You can, they can read the paper if they want the formalism, right? But just say, you know, remind people of what the puzzle is. Like, how do I know that one model came from another? And then you can say, if you have access to the weights, or if you have, then there are existing ways that you can estimate this. They, you know, they're not perfect, but you should read this paper, right? And but there's a need for being able to do it better, right? Like, we don't know what to do in the world now that we have model merging. We don't know what to do in this, right? So that you can sort of say, hey, this part has been looked at, but there's so much more that's going to be needed to be done, right?
Sounds good.
For each one of these things. That makes sense?
Yep.
Makes sense. Yeah. So that's my main.
So that's like just generally
for each one of these tasks. Yeah. So yeah, there's this whole area of, you know, model search. There's this whole area of this. And then, you know, the current state of the art is maybe more advanced than you were aware of. People already looking at some of this stuff, but you know.
Yeah.
Yes. It should be built out.
So if you're mentioning these different problems before in like a one big picture, you had like emojis for each of them, maybe? If you didn't, you could have an emoji.
So people can remember, you mean?
So people can remember what you're talking about, and they have this. They can connect it to the main story.
Yeah, this is like the last
one. Any other talk suggestions?
Sorry, I wanted to include this picture at some point, but I couldn't.
Which picture? What is this?
This is AI generated of model lakes.
Oh, this is what a model lake is. Oh, you get it. I get it.
It has quaddle over there.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's derived from it's a fine tuning.
It's a fine tuning.
Quad large.
Yeah. Okay, I'll figure out how to incorporate this picture.
Nice. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, folks.
Very nice.
Very good, Kiana.
So.